good to be with you all here again this evening. Count it a privilege to greet you in the name of Jesus. I realize this is Saturday night. It's been a good week for me. It's been a challenging week and, in a sense, an exhausting week. And I'm sure you have felt some of that as well. There's a lot involved in getting the family together night after night and coming to church in this way. And so tonight, I will try and keep the message short and sweet, and so that you can get home and have plenty of rest tonight. Each night I was sharing a few thoughts in relation to God's Word. I'd like to do that again tonight. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And I had preached twice out of the Sermon on the Mount and some of Jesus' teachings. And we come to the end of the sermon there, and the people that were listening, it says they were astonished, or it's when Jesus, in verse 28, it says, and when it had come to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. That was how they perceived the teachings of Jesus. They noticed something distinctly different in his teachings. But as Jesus was coming to the close of his sermon, he says in verse 21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's not just a lip profession, but it is a heart experience that conveys into action in our lives. And he even goes as far as to say that there will be some that profess to know him, and when it comes to the judgment day, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. He says in verse 24, he says, therefore, to whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the winds descend, and the floods come, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The house that Jesus was telling us here that was built upon a rock was able to withstand the storms that it faced. The house that was built upon the sand, when the storms came, it collapsed. I guess as we look at life, it's not a question as to whether we're going to face the storms of life. The question, it's just a matter of when. And Jesus is telling us here that it's as we take what he is teaching here in his word, as we take the laws of his word and we apply it to our lives, that as we face those storms of life, it will give us a direction. It'll give us a foundation to build upon. And I believe the meaning of this parable here is quite obvious as we look at this, and that is this, that the foundation makes all the difference as to whether the structure is going to stand. He was not addressing the structure itself. He was not even stressing the fact that it's important to follow the building codes. He was stressing here the foundation in which it was built upon. And he was talking about the sayings and the teachings of his word. And we are to build our lives upon a good foundation. It would seem at times that everything in the world is set up to make us turn away from God's word. Brother Tim faced a little bit of that last evening, where someone ridiculed them. But it would seem at times that everything in the world is set up to make us turn away from God. And at times, even our own feelings, some of the things that we struggle with personally, tend to pull us in the exact opposite direction of what the Bible says. But Jesus is reminding us here that if we are to be wise men and women, we would be those who build our life upon his teachings and his word and the principles of God's word. And it really doesn't matter what storms come our way. When we have a firm foundation, our lives will remain steadfast. So I just want to challenge us again, been reminding us time and again this week, and I'm sure you have heard it time and again, the importance of being grounded and rooted in God's word. And that's where we'll find stability. It's as we learn to trust and obey. God wants us to trust him. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He wants us to trust the principles of the teachings of his word, the promises of his word. And then he wants us to live it out in obedience. It's as we do that, we'll have a firm foundation. So may we ever be wise people who build upon the rock, that rock which is Jesus Christ and his teachings. Let's sing two verses of our theme song, the first and the last verse. I invite you to turn with me to Titus chapter 2. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 11 and read down to chapter 3, verse 8. I'd like to look at service tonight. Could be the Christian's call to serve. We could entitle the message "The Joy of Service." But I'd like to look at service tonight. Begins there in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Let's remember that our salvation is by the grace of God. It was nothing to do on our own merits. It was because of God's love for us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable on to men. The call to service. God has done so much for us. We were just like those girls on the street last night, lost and living in sin, and God has redeemed us. It was the grace of God. It was not our own righteousness. It was not our own good works. It was not what we had done, but God in his love for us, even that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus Christ to come into the world. But he's calling us to a work. He's calling us to a work, a life of service. And as I think of service, service means action. As we look at Jesus and his teachings, he said, it's he that heareth and doeth. And so as we are saved, God doesn't just save us just to save us. He saves us to be used in his service for his honor and for his glory. And service carries the meaning of action. It's an attitude of a slave. It's to minister to others. It's an act of friendly aid or assistance. That is service. And I know I don't have to preach a message of service here to you here in Fourth Avenue. I see what you're doing, and it's a blessing. It blesses my heart as I see you reaching out to others and trying to share the good news of salvation with others. That is a blessing to see that. Life is so full of service opportunities. And sometimes we get the concept that unless I'm in some foreign mission field or unless I'm doing some type of mission work, for some reason I'm not in service for God. And the point I want to stress here is that being in service for God is being in the will of God. And God is not calling everyone to the foreign mission field. God may be calling you mothers in the home. And what a tremendous opportunity you have in doing service for him and teaching and taking care of those young children. That is a service. It can be an older individual that can't get around very well. His service may simply be, or her service may simply be, spending time on her knees in prayer in behalf of others. And what a tremendous blessing that can be in the work of the Lord. And God has different callings for different people. An important thing is that we avail ourselves to his service and allow him to use us. Service, the call to Christian service. And it says we realize what God has done for us, that we will want to use ourselves in any way that he sees fit. There are many opportunities for us to make a difference in the lives of other people. We like service. And one of the things that we, or those that are involved in businesses, try to do is to accommodate other people And because we know they like service, but we like to come into a place of business, and that's always a frustration to me when I walk into Walmart and I cannot find what I'm looking for, which is quite often, and neither can I find someone else to help me to find it. It's frustrating. And that's one of the reasons we try to focus on, in our business, we try to focus on service, and that we have something better to offer. But we like service. And God is calling us to a life of service, to reach out and to help other individuals. As you think of service, just ponder a little bit what Christ, how he came, and how he served. And it's a challenge to us. And we can have a lot to learn. Christ came not to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. He came to reach out. Christ's life was a selfless life. The Bible tells us that there was a time that he didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. And he had such an interest in others. He was willing to sacrifice his own comforts to reach out and to help someone else in need. And he had a tender heart for people that had needs. It's an example for us. Christ was willing to spend and be spent. And that's a challenge to me. One of the things Christ did in his ministry, and you'd think God, Christ being a part of the Godhead, that it would not have been necessary. But in Christ's ministry, he spent many hours in talking to the Father. He spent many hours in prayer. I could have a message tonight on prayer. But that is so important, to be connected with the Father, and that's what Jesus was. In our life of service, it's important that we have a connection with the Father. We spend time in prayer. Jesus expressed loneliness and grief in his life as well. There was times that Jesus was alone. His friends deserted him. Maybe that even brought him closer to the Father. He faced misunderstandings. He faced rejection. In a life of service, there's times that we do that. We face that. Others don't understand, misunderstand us. Times we're made fun of. Jesus was as well. Jesus went as far as enduring the cross. A life of service takes a life of patience. Accepting what God has for us. There are times when people get into our way. We sense the call of God, and there's people get into our way. There's times that God may seem far away from us, don't seem close to us at times. There's times that things might not work out the way we would like them to. We sense God's leading, and yet it doesn't quite work out. And God maybe is just wanting us to just be patient and wait on him. God speaks many times through the church. And sometimes we'd like to run ahead of God. It's important that we just simply wait on God. Our brother last night referred to, I believe it was last night in his devotional, where he was stressing the fact of just simply doing what we know to do now. And God will reveal his will, and things will work out as he opens and closes doors for us in the future. So in service, it's important that we have patience and wait on God and allow him to work in and through us. I mentioned earlier, it's important that we are connected to the Father. There's an account in 2 Kings chapter 2 that I'd like to look at, where we had a transfer of responsibilities. And I always get mixed up between these two individuals, but was it Elijah being, was when the responsibility was changing from Elijah to Elisha? And we have chapter 2, we have verse 11, and it came to pass as they went on and talked, and that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Now, just prior to this, Elisha was wanting the double portion of a blessing of Elijah, and Elijah said that if you see me going up,
that you will receive that double portion. And it says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the banks of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and fell upon him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophet were to view at Jericho, saw him, and they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The point I'd like to bring out here, it's important that we have the power of God in our lives if we're going to be used in his service. It's important that we have the Holy Spirit. It's important that we are born-again individuals. And that is when God can use us. Elisha here experienced the blessings of God's Spirit upon him. And so it is enough for us to be effective. We need to have God's Spirit upon us. The call to service. Just a number of verses. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, and I won't ask you to turn to these, it says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That means give the Lord God our everything. Psalm 2, verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, with goodwill, doing services unto the Lord and not unto men. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, wherefore ye receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 and 44, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Luke chapter 10, verse 36 and 37, Jesus to the lawyer, which now of these three thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto them, go, and do thou likewise. John chapter 13, verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The call to service. The scriptures is calling us to serve others, to reach out and make a difference in others' lives. Am I willing to wash my brother's feet? Am I willing to be there for him? Am I willing to stoop down and help out when there's a need? Am I willing to bear my brother's burdens that he's struggling with? We have been called to a life of service. How then do we find joy in service? In Psalm 1, verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's when God becomes real to us. It's when the principles of God's word become real and precious to us. And when we have a desire to do his will, not because we feel compelled, but because we love him, that we can find true joy in service. The Bible says that God's word holds delight for us. And then Psalm 40, verse 8 says it this way, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Not only do we find ourselves delighting in God's will, but we find delight in doing God's will. Joy in service. When God's word is written in our hearts, it becomes real to us, it becomes alive. when we realize what we were and what we are today, when we experience the joy of the Lord, and the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we experience the joy of the Lord, we want to share it with those who are lost and living in sin and discouragement. And we want to point them to something that will give them life, that will give them joy. Psalm 100, verse 2 says it this way: Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Joy in service. We go to Luke chapter 10. A few verses there I would like to look at. In Luke chapter 10, looking at verse 17. Jesus had sent the 70 out, and then in verse 17 we have them returning. And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy. There was a joy there as they were out and going about the work of the Lord. And they came and turned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through his name. And he said unto them, if I behold Satan as lightning falling from heaven, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I was pondering that this afternoon, that was a challenge to me. He was saying here, don't joy in all these other things. Just simply joy that your name is written in heaven. Enjoy, just rejoice in the fact that you are part of the redeemed. And as we contemplate that and we grasp that fact, that's how we find joy in service, when we just realize that we are sinners saved by grace and our names are written in heaven and we want to just be in service for the King. It's easy for us to get unfocused. We look, and we, like the disciples, find our satisfaction and our joy in accomplishments and circumstances. Do you ever look at some work, mission work, and you say, you know what? They've been there for so many years and they don't have any converts. That is not where we find our joy and our satisfaction in our accomplishments. We find our joy and our satisfaction in being where God wants us to be. And God is not asking us to reap the harvest, but he is asking us to sow the seed. And in being in service for him is where we find fulfillment in life. Jesus is saying here that true joy is not self-conceived. Joy is not who I am, it's not what I do, or what I hope to be, but rather, he's saying, real joy is found in me. That is where you find real joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, Whom having not seen, ye love, and he in whom though now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's where we can find our joy, is in Christ. Joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. And that's the beauty of inner joy. Regardless of what we face, we can still experience the joy of the Lord in our hearts. There's several illustrations in the Bible or circumstances in the Bible that we could look to. We have the story of Elkanah and Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Hannah wanted a child very badly. And she poured her heart out to God. The Bible says that she went in there and she poured her heart out to God, and you can see that she just simply left her burden there. She faced some very difficult times. There was another woman in her life that made fun of her, and yet she was able to turn her burden over to the Lord and fix her eyes on God. And later, God blessed her with a son. Hannah was able to find joy in service as she committed her life to God, as she committed her burdens to God, as she surrendered her will to God. And she could find true joy in service. Mary was another individual that when the angel came to her and said that she was going to have a child, and she realized all the implications that involved, she was not married. She realized how others are going to view this. She pondered those things in her heart, and yet she was willing to submit herself to what God was calling her to. And I believe she was able to find real joy in that. She found joy in service by walking in faithfulness in God's plan for her life. She found her delight in the Lord. Joy in service. And we could look at many more. We could look at Esther, was a woman that found herself in a very difficult situation. And she had to speak up to the king in relation to her people, realizing that her life was at stake. And yet she was willing to do it. Her life and the lives of others were in danger. Would she be willing to allow her life to be used? And she was willing to do that. And through that, her people were spared. We can find joy in obedience as well. We can find joy in service to God, and that is found as we surrender ourselves to Him, our will to Him. It's as we are faithful to what we know, and it's as we walk in obedience to His word that we can find joy in service, and we will find a blessing in following God's will in our lives. Joy in service. Often in life, we find service to God. It requires sweat and tears. It's not always easy. There's disappointments. There's hurts. There's sorrows in our lives. There's burdens in our life that we carry as we reach out to others, and we see the course they're taking, and we wish somehow we could reach out and help them, and it creates a burden in our hearts. There's sweat and tears in preparing messages, and I've experienced that time and again. And that's a part of being in service for the Lord, but there's a joy there in just simply allowing ourselves to be used for His service. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth reaping, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Weeping may endure for a season, for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's be faithful servants. There is joy in service. And we will experience the ultimate joy in being in God's will and doing His commandments, doing what He's asking of us to do. We will experience that ultimate rejoicing and joy when we can be there And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Could we have a verse or two of a closing song?